It's Friday, March 7th, 2014, and you're listening to The Threat Matrix. I'm your host, Dan Verton, cyber and national security reporter with FedScoop. This week, I want to talk about one of the fundamental problems with our nation's approach to critical infrastructure cybersecurity, and that is the government's abdication of its inherent responsibility to provide for the common defense of the nation in cyberspace, in favor of allowing market forces to determine how the private owners and operators of our nation's critical infrastructure measure and react to risk. In case you're not familiar with the term critical infrastructure, it refers to those assets such as the electric power grid, telecommunications networks, financial and transportation infrastructure, among others, the loss of which would cause catastrophic damage to U.S. national security. Now, it is, I admit, not an easy scenario to accept. When I wrote Black Ice, a book about cyber terrorism and critical infrastructure protection in 2003, I spent a lot of time defending what was then considered to be out-of-the-box thinking about the threat. But today, we're back to where I started in 2003. This is how Phyllis Schneck, the newly appointed Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity at the Department of Homeland Security, characterized the issue of critical infrastructure cybersecurity at an event I attended this week in Washington.
At every moment, to your point, we do have adversaries sending a lot of bad things to a lot of good people. And it's wrong. That's why I took this job. And as we look at rolling out this framework, we want to engage that critical infrastructure cybersecurity community, that C-cubed voluntary program. Lots packed into that name. The fact that we look at critical infrastructure and cybersecurity together, we're not doing this to chase viruses and worms. We're doing it to preserve our way of life.
And this is how Patrick Gallagher, the director of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, described the issue of critical infrastructure cybersecurity.
It's interesting to me that the discussion always gets stuck with who is creating the requirement. So I think, you know, we're talking about the nation's critical infrastructure, and it's infrastructure that if it were to be attacked or if it were to fail would cause catastrophic harm to the country. So of course we're talking about protecting that information. The question then is, what's the most effective way to do it? And, you know, in my simple mind, I think of regulation as a response to market failure when collective behavior is either hard or impossible.
So critical infrastructure cybersecurity is an issue that pertains to our nation's most important services, and a successful attack that causes cascading failures across critical infrastructures would threaten our way of life. And yet we've left the details to the private companies that own and operate those critical infrastructures. It's their responsibility to determine what is an acceptable level of security for the infrastructures they manage, and therefore it is their responsibility to provide for our common defense in the face of a constant stream of attacks from nation states and transnational criminal organizations. That is the essence of the message behind the recently released Framework for Improving Critical Infrastructure Cybersecurity. We don't want to tell you how to do your job, but here are a few recommendations. We trust you will do what is necessary. Best of luck. The NIST framework, and by extension the Department of Homeland Security, have been relegated to a cheerleading function. The hope is that they can whip up the crowd enough in the face of such an amorphous threat that all sectors of the nation's critical infrastructure will be prepared when a major attack does happen. Again, here's Phyllis Schneck.
Our hopes and dreams for the framework are that the larger companies will encourage their suppliers and their customers to also adopt the framework and look at the right guidance for cybersecurity so that they don't introduce risk even when a large company buys another company, so that you all of a sudden have not inherited the risks in that, and that security guidance is sort of bringing up some of the others that may not have had it before. So I think it's much bigger than just the DoD industry. It goes across from the supply chain perspective and the customer perspective. Big companies do a very good job, for the most part, the very big ones, of cybersecurity. The question is, who are your suppliers, who are you buying, and who are your customers, and can you help us help them?
Well, I've never been one to base a strategy on hope, and in the absence of legislative action that would require real improvements in cybersecurity, that's really all we have today. Don't get me wrong. This is not about the dedication or the good intentions of those involved in developing the framework. What this is really about is determining the appropriate role of government in defending the nation's cyber infrastructure, and if current government policy lives up to that responsibility. Given our current approach, the only question left to ask is this: when part of the nation's critical cyber infrastructure lay in ruins and the cheerleading has stopped, who do the American people hold accountable? Because you know we are going to hold somebody accountable for this. That's all for the Threat Matrix this week. I'm Dan Verton. Thanks for listening.